Hey friend, welcome back to another episode of the NSN Shift Support Podcast. I'm your host Megan, thanks for tuning in again. I hope everyone is having a good week. Happy Friday if you are listening to this on publication day. If you've seen my Instagram stories, you know it is so hot here in Florida. Which I know, it's June in Florida, I should know it's going to be hot. But the other summers I've spent in Florida, I haven't been here more than a few weeks. And the one summer I was here for the whole summer, I guess we were here about a month last summer. I digress. And then the summer that I was here, the full summer, I was working night shifts. So I do remember it being so hot when I was trying to sleep. And I was out during the day some, but I guess just like being in the cold, cold hospital all night and then sleeping during the day, I kind of blocked out how hot it was. But now I am in the thick of it. I am out. I am driving my car. I'm going into patients' homes that do not like AC and do not like their house to feel cool whatsoever. I can't tell you how much my car warms up just in like the 30 minutes that I'm in a patient's home. It's wild. My steering wheel is so hot. My sunglasses are hot. My seats are hot. I definitely need to work on having a better system for my car because it is way too hot right now. So going to work on that. Hoping work is going to start getting better. Maybe get a little bit, I'm not going to say easier, but just less stressful and less busy. I definitely am going to appreciate the paychecks that are coming my way after the last few weeks. And I definitely plan to do something fun with a little bit of that paycheck. Obviously, bills, life, adulting. But I definitely feel like I need to incorporate a little bit of extra self-care after call week and everything. So, looking forward to that. And today's payday. I mean, tomorrow's payday because I'm recording this on Thursday. But when you listen to this, it'll be payday. So, yay. But anywho. Today we are talking about a super important topic that we all need to be talking about, no matter our gender, and that is Men's Mental Health Month. This is such an important topic and something that in our society, and you know, with our patriarchal views of things, with our macho man can't show any emotion except anger situations, it's just something that we really need to be talking about. To people of all ages, but especially, I think, you know, the younger generations, my friends that are raising kids are going to have kids. If I have a son, this is something I think we really need to be teaching them. I think this is something we need to be discussing with our friends, with our spouses, with our siblings, our parents, if that's, you know, an option for you, your uncles, whoever is in your life. But men really, it's really sad when I really kind of look at it and realize just how far behind they are put when it comes to mental health, emotional wellness, emotional awareness, self-awareness, because they're just not taught things. They are not taught things that I was taught as a woman, you know, a girl growing up. There are such different expectations in society. And we all have, you know, probably some level of ingrained bias that we don't know about. So I just think it's super important to have these conversations, to offer and be there as a safe person to talk to the men in your life. So I wanted to share a few quick facts that I found on mentalhealthamerica.org. It's an organization that, you know, advocates for mental health public policy. They provide resources, all that kind of stuff. So if that's something you would want to look into, they do have a website and they have a lot of good resources, it looks like. 6 million males are affected by depression per year, which is a really high number. Male depression often goes undiagnosed. Men are more likely to report fatigue, irritability, loss of interest in work or hobbies, rather than feelings of sadness or worthlessness. And I think again, some of that, I'm sure some of that has to do maybe with like testosterone, hormones, but I think some of it probably has to do with society that men maybe don't even know how to verbalize that they're having feelings of sadness or worthlessness, or maybe they don't even, it's hard for me to imagine because I have all these feelings all the time, but maybe they don't even know how to have a feeling of sadness, of worth or worthlessness. So they're getting more the physical side of depression, which is the fatigue, the irritability, the loss of interest in work or hobbies. 19.1 million American adults age 18 to 54 have an anxiety disorder. 3 million men have a panic disorder, agoraphobia, or other phobia. One thing that I heard in a podcast recently, which is in here as well, is 90% of people who are diagnosed with schizophrenia by age 30 are men. Which I just find shocking, honestly. Like, that is just such a high number for a disease to be, you know, sex dominated, to be either men or women. So I found that really interesting and really sad as well. And not sad as in if you have schizophrenia, that's sad, which I do think it can be, you know, sad, but just to know how difficult mental health is to navigate in this country and to get help, and that that many people are being diagnosed with what can be an extremely debilitating disease if not treated properly by such a young age is, you know, alarming and something we need to be aware of and something we need to be supporting men and everyone in, obviously. Another fact that you probably have heard that is also very upsetting about suicide. So the highest suicide rates in the U.S. are found in Caucasian men over the age of 85. Another really unfortunate disparity, gender disparity, is more than four times as many men as women die by suicide in the U.S. So I have read that more women attempt suicide, but more men complete suicide, and they do tend to use more lethal ways of attempting or completing suicide, such as hanging or firearms, while women tend to use less lethal, such as overdose. In 2010, a total of 38,000 Americans died by suicide, and over three quarters, 79% of these suicides were men. When you just think about those numbers and you think about the men hurting and you think about how difficult it is for anyone in our society to come out as struggling with their mental health, but especially men with the stigma that we have, it just, it really breaks my heart and it makes me sad and it frustrates me with society and our healthcare system, and it's something I would really love to see change. And I think one of the ways to begin changing that is by talking about it. And I don't think it's always an easy conversation to have. I know that a lot of the, you know, boys, men that I've had in my life that I've been friends with, well, I'm not going to say they don't want to talk to them about emotion. And I was planning on bringing this up a little later in the podcast, but I listened to the group therapy, or Welcome to Group Therapy, I think, which is a podcast with four therapists. It's very good. Highly suggest going to listen to it. They did one specifically about Men's Mental Health Month. But they have a licensed psychologist on the show, Dr. Jason Puder. I should have listened to the intro to know how to say his name, so I apologize. But Jason is a therapist that has gone through his own depression struggles. He is open about losing his father and his brother and the trauma that that caused in his life. And he was talking about even being in, you know, grad school, because, you know, he has his doctorate, he's taken all his psychology classes. He said that he always felt more comfortable and more at ease when it came to talking anything related to mental health around women. Which, when I reflect on time that I've spent around men in my life, I think that probably holds true for a lot of men. And I'm not saying all men. Obviously, I'm sure there's certain things and certain men that really would prefer to talk to another man, and I fully support that. You know, we need male therapists and psychiatrists and all that in the field as well. But I just found it so interesting that he, even as a psychologist who, you know, was around people that are obviously very open to mental health, I'm guessing the men he was with were very open-minded to mental health. They were supportive. You know, they're trained therapists, but he said that he felt most comfortable in a room of women when it came to anything, you know, emotions, talking about feelings, talking about things that he's gone through. And like I said, when I reflect back, I feel like a lot of the men and guys in my life, boys, they will talk to me about things that they would never mention if there were guys in the room. They will talk about feelings, they will talk about pain, they will talk about breakups, death of family members, and they will actually, you know, at least, I don't know if they really share how they're feeling, but they at least talk about it. And then, you know, if another man walked in the room, they probably would stop. Or maybe if one man was there, it's okay, but if it was a whole group of guys, they would not mention any of this, even if someone asked, even if I asked. So I think it just really speaks to how important it is for women to be supportive and provide just open-ended questions and conversation and let people know that if they need someone to talk to, that you, if you have the capacity, obviously, if you have the capacity, just let them know that you are open to talking to them, that it's a judgment-free space, that you will not share what they share with you, and then please do all those things so we can maintain their trust. But I just thought that was a really interesting comment that he made, and like I said, when I reflect on my own life experience, I see that a lot. I know I personally feel more comfortable talking to a female therapist, usually female doctors. I'm not saying anything against men, that's just my personal preference. And so I can relate to that. And then, like I said, I have been in so many situations, you know, both men in my life and even patients where they'll tell me things that they won't tell the male doctor or their male friends. So I think it's really important as women, if you have the space to, you know, make it known that it's okay to talk about your feelings, that it's okay to talk about, you know, what's going on in your life, and that you can be a safe space. And I think it's really important as well that we normalize things like medication and therapy for men. I know that's another really hot topic and can be a really hard topic. And I feel like it's becoming more and more acceptable to talk about those things. But again, I know it's easier as a woman to say those things than it would be as a man. And that's really unfortunate that that is the way our society is. But it's an unfortunate reality right now. So I think just being outspoken about mental health is health. Medications for your mental health or a mental illness, there's no shame in that. It's the same as taking a medication for any other part of your body or any other illness. I am proud to say that we have had men in our Innocent Support group. We have a few regulars who are men. That's something, you know, I'm proud of, because I want it to be open to everyone. I want both men and women, because both men and women are nurses, to feel comfortable coming to our groups. I want different races to feel comfortable coming to our group, different ethnicities. I want the queer community to feel comfortable. You know, I want it to be a well-diverse group, because that is what nursing is, that is what healthcare is, that is what the world is. So very thankful for that, and I hope that they find some peace, comfort, community, whatever they're looking for. I hope that they find that in our group, because I really think our group is a special place, and I am very thankful for everybody in it. So I really encourage you to take some time to reach out to the men in your life, see how they're doing, support them in any way you can. I know my husband grew up in a household where they did talk about, feelings and emotions, to some degree, and he definitely was not raised in a toxic masculinity environment, which I really appreciate. He has definitely worked over the years on things like communicating, being able to say if he's feeling stressed, if he's feeling down, if he's feeling depressed. And that's something that we've kind of worked on together. I've always had my feelings. I haven't always been great at sharing them either, but I've really worked on that, especially through things like therapy and getting on medication. It was something that needed to be discussed more often. So I understand how hard it can be, but I think it's really important that we just keep having these conversations, we keep sharing this information, and just let men and everyone know that it's okay to not be okay. It's okay to ask for help. Asking for help is a sign of bravery, and toxic masculinity is not the way to go. You are allowed to have feelings, you're allowed to share your thoughts. You are allowed to talk about what has happened to you. You're allowed to talk about your trauma, and you're allowed to heal from all that. And I really, really hope you will, because it is totally worth the work. I am not healed by any means. I'm still on a long stretch of healing, but it is worth putting in the work. So thank you so much for tuning in to another episode. Thank you for being here for this very important conversation and a conversation that we will continue to have. Today's affirmation for your shift ahead is I am a valuable member of the healthcare team. Thanks again for tuning in. If you are enjoying the In Essentia Support Podcast, I would absolutely love if you would give us a 5-star rating. If you are on Apple Podcasts, leaving a review would be so appreciated. And tune back in next week for another episode. Bye!